All right, let's go to Romans 5. What we're going to study this morning was very important to me yesterday, so that's why we're doing it. Start in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through or by the means of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Anytime, as we've talked a bunch, is anytime the word hope is used in the New Testament, it always refers to the resurrection of Christ. And the hope I think it's just used once in the Old Testament. And its definition is a crevice in a rock or in a mountain, where you are safe from a storm. So the word hope, from our standpoint, which means an expectation of some good thing that you want, is foreign to the New Testament. Because you don't even know you want the resurrection. And one of the most sad, to me, the saddest things that I found out in all these televangelists and their promises of fortune or health, Benny, it was in one of those interviews where I was in the next room giving the questions to the guy that was interviewing, and the guy pushed him. It was the one for 60 Minutes Australia. And the guy kept pushing him and pushing him. And then finally, Benny Hinn said, well, at least we're giving them hope. And I hit the ceiling and told, and the guy that was doing the questioning didn't understand it. But the idea then is that a snake oil salesman would give people hope. That's the same, or any dumb thing that says, if you do this, you're going to get that. And so that kind of hope is not known in the New Testament. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So with the hope is the glory of God, which is the resurrection of Christ. But now we'll go down to see it's the resurrection of Christ in us that is the whole mystery. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation is the word that it's like my favorite word in Greek, because it's the word thlespis. THLEPSIS, thlespis. And it means, if you could imagine a toothpaste tube that had the really little small hole, and you're trying to squeeze out the toothpaste in that minuscule hole onto your toothbrush. Well, that's the definition of tribulation. It's the pressure. But it can be oppression, affliction, distress, straits. And so we glory, if you see the truth of the gospel, you glory in tribulation. I know a lot about this one.
You glory because of knowledge of
what it's producing. The producing the revelation of Christ in you.
Kind of a choice. It's kind of a choice. You can either be mad about it, whatever other emotion, or you can see it correctly. Maybe that's what I'm gonna say.
Well, the only choice for a believer is to see it correctly. So it's not really a choice in that context. But if you're, you know.
Yeah, seeing correctly is not a choice. You see correctly.
This tribulation worketh patience. It's hupomo or hupomio. And it means endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. It's characteristic of one who has not swerved from the purpose by the greatest trial and the greatest suffering. Well, that can't, that's not, this is foreign to human nature. There's types of it in human nature. The training that one has to go through to climb Mount Everest, the freezing cold, the massive storms, the aloneness. So, and again, it's also it's for an athlete like Gary. What Gary went through, the constant practice so that you can do what you do by nature. I mean, it's tribulation to get there. But it's because you see something that is worthwhile. You see something that you can have sustenance and satisfaction for when you complete it. So, and then you complete it, and then there's no more sustenance and satisfaction after a while. But so it's end result. You can go through this thyspis or through the trial and tribulation to work to get to patience. But the doing it after the world system, because all those things you know will give you sustenance and satisfaction. The only one that doesn't end up as boredom or whatever it is that no longer gives you sustenance and satisfaction is the revelation of Christ. That's the patience that came from going through the tribulation. But anyway, and it says, and then next, and patience experience. Again, experience is, we've talked about this many times, dokimo. And it's you've been approved by the test. The trial has been worth it. And that the fact that you know that the trial or the tribulation or that you've gone through, you've experienced it, what it truly means, then and the next time you go through it, it's no longer a trial per se. Does everybody understand? An experience produces hope. Because you know that the revelation of Christ is at the end of that tribulation. Now, it can take many different forms. But it's always the case here. And what you see, the hope is in the certainty of the revelation of Christ. And so this is a huge deal in terms of, you know, just the minor, just the, even the minor things and frustrations you go through. That this is the reason for it. This is the reason for the frustration. This is the reason for it. So that you would have constancy and continue in on to the end. All right. And hope maketh not ashamed.
Ashamed is a word that I can't pronounce. Not ashamed is au catis kuno. But it means you won't suffer dishonor or disgrace from the whole experience that we've just been talking about, because you know that it produces the revelation of Christ. Now, tribulation is common to the human race. But what's not common is the end result being the resurrection. Maketh not ashamed. So, any thoughts on this thus far?
Pretty interesting. What? By the time you get to hope, you've been through a whole lot.
And you're going to go through it again.
Yeah, but that first time, I mean, you have been wrung out, so to speak, and all your own devices have failed you. And, you know, that's where abandonment isn't. Something you probably do is just something that
it's the only thing working. You can do. Yeah,
just quits working, so you stop that. Pretty soon you're standing there naked with some hope.
And it comes, remember this is why the gospel is, it gets so cheapened by the theology of success. It is the ultimate success, but that's not what's taught. Here's how you get rich. Here's how you get healed. Here's how you have better children. Here's how you have a more fulfilling life, blah, blah, blah. Is what the gospel that's being preached under the theology of glory today. It's always the expectation of that good thing that you want, or that the flesh wants. Flesh doesn't want to die, and flesh doesn't want to keep dead. That's why if you build again the things you destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. Anyway, let's go on. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. At peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, yet enemies, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, or by his agency. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We want to think that our lives will be what's being saved.
But we're saved by his life, by the means of his life, by his life alone. Let's go to John 14 and look at something. I think that's where it is. Yeah, well, let's start in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, or paraclete is what, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, or in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Here we go again, because I live, so we read that, and we think that because he lives, he's going to give us life, so that we will live also. So the we read as the natural we, and that's the basis of the deception. Amen?
That's the deception. What's the reality?
He alone lives.
And how does that happen?
By his agency, by your faith only. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I want to show you something again.
Where'd we go?
2 Timothy. No, it's 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Start verse 11. Again, remember, this is nearing his death. He wrote this and he wrote both of these in AD 66, both 1st and 2nd Timothy. But in 2nd Timothy, I mean in 1st Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach." He only, he alone has immortality. We don't. Amen? He only has immortality.
But we are one with him.
No, he only has immortality.
And being one with him, we have died.
We have died, then we're not here anymore.
Except for the fact that he gives life to...
He never gives life. He is life.
He is life.
Go to Matthew, I mean John 3. Big John.
Now you've lost me. The letter of John 3, not the Gospel of John, big one.
John the Gospel.
John the Gospel. Oh, that big John.
Not right. First John.
This is him talking to Nicodemus. Verse 11. 1 John chapter 3.
Verse 11 of John?
Big John, I mean. I'm sorry.
Which came first?
Verse 11.
Big John or?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive us, you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. No man hath ascended. He alone hath immortality. Remember, we just studied the twins. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the only reason that he loved Jacob is because he saw the end of the movie. He saw that Jacob would confess that he was the Antichrist, and therefore the only life he had was Christ. You are Christ in Gary form. Gary is gone. You buy that?
Yeah, so what are you going to call me? Okay.
Well, it depends on what mood I'm in. But no, that's why I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected in you. You can't have two people. One of the twins has to die. Christ didn't die. He died but is risen. You died and were not risen. This is the fundamental thing that people miss because they believe they are, I mean, they're talking about going to heaven and seeing their little loved ones and all that. He alone has immortality.
So he is the risen in you. That's the state of being that we're talking about.
Yeah, you can't be there.
And yet it's your body, which has been quickened.
No, it's not. It's not your anything.
Well, it's his body now.
He alone. It's him. He. You remember, the definition of the instead of Christ is one who is sitting in the temple of God. But he is the. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Start in verse 3. Let no man deceive you. By any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You, and the word for temple there is naos. It's you are the temple. And the man of sin, the son of perdition, that's still there. If you're still there, then you're it can't be. He can't be still there and have Christ there. So you are the man of sin. This is the least preached thing in the Christian church. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Remember, the definition of one who shows himself that he's God is because he judges for himself good and evil. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming or presence. You will be destroyed by the brightness of his presence. Are you shaking in agreement?
Yeah, I see this as the when in 2 it says the day of Christ is at hand. That starts this process.
It starts the day that you reveal who the instead of Christ is.
And if you don't, if that's not revealed, there is no revelation of Christ. It's you and the temple thinking you've got it together.
It's you thinking that you are there.
Right. But then it goes on. I mean, that is the process. And
but now who's the you?
That's a mystery. I mean, we can't.
Well, let's go to Galatians.
We can't with our words define it, apparently.
Well, okay, let's go to Galatians chapter. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. So nevertheless,
first,
I live.
That first I is self.
Well, just listen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yet not I is the operative word. But Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, which is really Christ in the, living in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But you can't be there. Or that you won't live by the faith of, you'll still try to live by the faith in. Yet not I that liveth. It has to start. Go up to verse 16 of the same chapter. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So you have to start believing in, but then you see your total death, and so you live by the faith of, which is always abandonment of self. As long as you still think you're there, then you will be constantly like it's this, you'll be the child. And still, your sin is forgiven, and that's wonderful, but you're still living in the world, doing worldly things. until you finally see, yet not I that liveth. He alone hath immortality. No man has descended into heaven. This is the most important thing that you can hear. And the thing that ends up revealing it in its constancy is this tribulation that we've talked about this morning. Because then you continue with him in his test, no longer yours. When you're believing in him, you have the test. When you see your death, then you are continuing with him in his test. His test is going to be perfected in you, the same way it was after the flesh. But he never, again, the use of the mind is gone. The use of the senses is gone. Because you, which is your mind, has to die. And has to see yourself as dead. And this is the gospel. This is the full counsel of God. He lives, I die.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's joyful when this stuff starts to, it's just joyful.
Amen.
Other than the tribulation that we all, looking at you suffering makes me sick, you know, makes us all sick. Sitting next to you yesterday morning, I was just not.
Do what?
Sitting next to you finishing brunch yesterday morning while you were, you know, going through the...
Oh, I was in agony.
Getting out the door, it was just...
But, I mean, I can see, this is why we're studying this morning, is because what I experienced yesterday and all day yesterday, part of the night, was this, just, the only word is agony. It was nothing to the real me. But if I thought I was alive, I would have committed suicide.
It's interesting how, based on what Scott was saying, I can say that your tribulation is our tribulation also. I mean, it's tribulation of different sort than you're experiencing, but it is difficult for us to see it. And
yeah, I mean, that's why we are one. It doesn't matter if one of us is here or there. I mean, he's dealing with us, not me.
Yeah, and that's why we're happy when someone does well, when we're compassionate when others don't.
Yeah, you know what the definition of a church, you remember, is that simple one.
Yeah.
If one rejoices, all rejoice. If one suffers, all suffer.
That's what I was trying to say.
That's the definition of church in 1 Corinthians 12. Anyhow, I hope this was edifying. Take a big